Zara Larsson and Clean Bandit. It's Dermot and Dave on Today FM. 53102, the text line today. If you want to get in touch, or you can email dermotanddave@todayfm.com. Loads of people concerned about the well-being of Dermot's rear end after he has revealed that he's about to do 76 kilometres in a pair of gym shorts. We will have to do something.
Yeah, we'll get something. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Don't worry, people.
Okay, people are worried. Amy, yeah. In fact, Maria says that Amy in Limerick says that you need to step in at this point, that she fears that Dermot and Dave may die during the cycle, but it's not going to happen. We'll be all right, lads.
We will.
We'll take our time.
We have a great support team, including Today FM's Phil Cawley, who's minding us on his big manly motorbike as well. But listen, we part of Dare to Care and the whole drive to raise money for the Irish Cancer Society is to hear your stories, not only from people who've dealt with cancer and lived with it, whether it's themselves personally or people that they know, but also is to highlight the amazing work that the support teams do around the country for people who are suffering with cancer or indeed have a family member maybe who's going through it. So we have a night nurse in studio with us here in beautiful County Limerick in Adair where we are today, and it is Hilary Goff, and she is a night nurse. Hey, hi Hilary, how's it going?
I'm good, thanks, how are you?
So a lot of people may think that night nurse is a little green pill that you take when you have the flu, but what is a real living night nurse? What is it that you do?
We go into people's homes towards the end of their journey with cancer. So usually we're referred in by the home care team that have been involved with them for a longer period, and usually towards the end of their life, or possibly a little bit earlier if they have difficulty sleeping or their family just need a break while they're looking after them. We do a small bit of respite, but it's usually end of life care.
And what kind of roles and duties would you have then?
It varies from house to house. Some houses you go into and, you know, the partner may wish to be in bed with the person who's dying. So we might be in another room. Other times, maybe everybody's so exhausted, they go off and go to bed and then we sit in with the patient. And it varies. Sometimes your patient is asleep for a lot of the night. Sometimes they might need medication. Sometimes they just might want a little bit of company. They're wakeful. They might be worried. They might be, you know, kind of going over things in their head. And sometimes it's easier to speak to a stranger.
And is the term night nurse, is the nurse part, are you a nurse?
I am, yeah, so, I'm a qualified nurse.
So you can answer complicated cancer-related medical questions as well as just being there.
Yes, for, yeah,
at a
you
human
know, what,
level.
What's going on in my body, you know, kind of, in, you know, kind of, why am I feeling like this? And, you know, even kind of questions around medication, kind of, some people are very worried about maybe taking morphine and, you know, just to reassure them, kind of, they're afraid that if they take it, that they'll be completely wiped out and they'll sleep all the time. And, you know, to reassure them that it's there, kind of, maybe to control their pain and regulate their breathing, but that they still will be able to converse with their family.
It strikes me as the kind of job there where you have to be everything. I mean, you're a psychologist, you know, you're a counsellor, you're a medical nurse. I mean,
friend.
Maybe just someone to give them company.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. It is. It's you know, it's a job that kind of encompasses a lot of roles.
Is it not a really sad job?
It's like every house we go into, it's their personal tragedy. Without a doubt, like the word cancer is just the word that strikes fear into people's lives. But it's actually an absolutely gorgeous job. It's a real privilege to be in people's homes, you know, kind of at this intimate time in their lives. And even the fact that quite often we interact with the patient in their bedroom, you know, maybe up until that stage, they've interacted with medical staff, either in hospitals or clinics or downstairs in their sitting room as the team have visited, kind of like I've actually been under the duvet, you know, with the patient, you know, sometimes that maybe a husband just got out of bed, you know, kind of because he's desperate for sleep and they just want company. They want a hand in their hand and, you know, kind of.
Yeah.
So, yes, I confess. Yes, I've been in bed.
So talk to us about the process of dying itself. I mean, how do people get their heads around it? And is everybody different?
Everybody is different. Without a doubt, everybody is different. And sometimes it's, you know, it's just down to how they themselves are personally, or maybe how long they've been fighting the illness, or how other people are around them.
Do you find that the length of time you have to deal with it helps? Or, you know, say if you get 2 weeks or 3 weeks to get your head around it as opposed to 9 months, does it necessarily make a difference?
It can do, but not always, kind of. Sometimes it's literally down to your personality and how you accept bad news and how you deal with it. Possibly how you've dealt with stuff throughout your life,
yeah.
That you're just a pragmatic person, and you know, maybe it is that you're in your 70s or 80s and you think, well, do you know what, something had to get me, and you know, kind of they maybe are organized and were organized for whenever it came anyway.
And are you also there for the families, in the sense that a lot of the times some of the people that we've spoken to have said that the patient is okay, it deals with it. They've resigned themselves to the fact they're okay with their kind of incumbent mortality, but it's the family members who can't accept it.
Yes, sometimes. And sometimes it is really the family that we are interacting with. Like, we've gone into houses where maybe the patient is settled and asleep every night we arrive. Maybe apart from a wait to the bathroom or to be repositioned, or maybe they haven't woken at all. And it is the family you interact with. So sometimes you end up being just, you know, a support or somebody who can just have time on their hands to sit and listen, or they can, you know, it's very hard even to maybe ask in the company of the patient,
of course,
up to this stage, what's it going to be like at the end. So maybe at night when the patient is asleep, you know, they'll say, I've never been with somebody who's dying, you know, what am I going to encounter, or how should I react? Or, you know, some people will say, I know I don't want to be there at the end.
Okay.
You know, and you have to respect that other people are desperate to be there at the end. So, you know, no matter what they'll say, if you're in any doubt, please come and wake me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and we do.
Yeah. Because it is, you know, it's something that we, you know, you face every single day when you go to work, and have done for the last 20 years. Most of us, death is not something that is really spoken about, whether it's in terms of how we're going to deal with it when it happens to us. I remember my own father, he was dying and he was quite scared and I didn't know what to say to him.
Yes.
So I would have loved to have had someone like you to go, what do I do here? Is it just a case of holding their hand? Are you meant to say something reassuringly religious? Or, you know, you just don't know.
Yes, and you know, it varies. Like, some people, religion is a huge part of it. You know, it's important to have prayers. It's important to have the priest in. Other people, it's the last thing they want.
Mm.
So it really is an individual thing. Generally, Irish people do death quite well. You know, our ritual around, you know, funerals and people gathering. And, you know, we're generally quite good. But there is always the fear. What do I say? And sometimes you don't have to say anything.
Yeah.
You're just being there.
Has your job changed how you feel about your own mortality? Have you, or do you think you'll be calm and accepting, or are you gonna?
I don't know if I'll be calm and accepting, but it has certainly made me feel never say no to an invite.
Right.
You know, I always feel you just don't know what's down the road. None of us do, kind of. So I would always
live your full life.
Yeah.
Because there was quite a famous book that came out a while ago, written by someone in your job, essentially. I think it was in Australia, and it was the top 5 regrets of the dying. And,
yes.
I mean, do you encounter similar regrets or wishes from people who are passing on?
Some people do. Some people, you know, verbalise it. Some people don't. You know, it varies. It really does vary. It's down to, you know, it's even down to maybe just finding the little window. Sometimes it can be just a little gap, and the question just pops into your head, is there anything you want to say? Or, you know, is there anything you wished you'd done differently? And some people will just meet you with no, and other people might chat. You know, it really is very individual, kind of. You know, I know, I remember, you know, reading the book, you know, and a lot of people say the time I spent in work, you know, it's a big regret.
We all basically worked too much.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm like, we all have to work. Yeah. Like, you know, that's life.
Let's just stop the show right now.
Well, I don't think we can call what we do work.
Yeah, that's true. Well, look, let's talk about the funding, because people are donating, and it's important that anyone who has donated or is thinking of donating, that they realise where the money goes. And it essentially provides people with your service, doesn't it?
Yes, it covers all of the night nursing throughout the country. Mm. Last year, we covered almost 9,000 nights throughout the country. You know, we've approximately 200 nurses, and we meet about 97% of the requests that come in.
Wow.
So that's it's a major achievement. And that's down to the generosity of the public.
Yeah, well, we spoke to Mark Mellett there from the Irish Cancer Society during the week, and he explained that one of the things that is funded directly from fundraising for the Irish Cancer Society with things like Dare to Care is the night nurse program, which from talking to you we can tell is just so important.
It is. It's hugely important. And families often say to us, you know, I've always supported Daffodil Day. I just didn't know that this is what it provided.
Yeah.
You know, and it is nice for people to know that. And generally, once they've had the service, they'll often say to us, I never knew you existed. Mm. And I suppose really they shouldn't need to know we exist until they need us, and it's lovely that we're there then. But then afterwards, I'll encounter them, you know, on a stand selling daffodils, and you know, once they've had the experience, a lot of people are very happy to, you know, to give back and to make sure that the service is there for others.
Do you maintain relationships with any of the families? Because you literally must be part of their family for months on end, potentially.
Yes, yeah, we do. Yeah, we absolutely do. I still hear from families, kind of. Not every family. Like, there are some houses I might only be in for a few hours. Like, I've arrived in a house for a first night and the patient has passed away within, you know, the first or second hour. You know, kind of, and obviously, you know, you wouldn't have much of a relationship there. You know, you pass in and you pass out. But I have been with other families, you know, kind of up to 3 weeks. And, you know, I had a young man around the same age as myself about 10 years ago who had, I was with him for almost 3 months. He had three teenage boys, you know, kind of a little bit older than my own kids. And, you know, I was in doing homework at night there and, you know, kind of shouting at them to turn off their music.
Well, how do you balance all this with your own family life?
I think it kind of was a help to me. When I started doing this, I had two small children, and I've grown them to five children now at this stage. But I always felt the good thing about coming home was I opened the back door to mayhem. And I had an hour of mayhem, you know, getting them into uniforms and breakfast and into the car and off to school. And by the time I got home, I just collapsed. So, you know, I kind of, that was my sort of, you know, climb down from the night. Or occasionally at the weekend, I sit down and I spill it all out to my husband and leave him sobbing into his bowl of porridge while I, you know, I go off then. I feel really good. I've offloaded.
Well, look, the work you do and the work that people like you do, Hilary, is incredible. But we need funding, and that's what Dare to Care is all about. So right now, if you can, guys, please text the word DARE to 50300. It'll donate €4. Text will cost €4. The Irish Cancer Society will receive a minimum of €3.25. The service provider is Like Charity, and the helpline is 076-6805-278. So that's text DARE to 50300 right now. Please do that.
Hilary, we know you've come straight from work to talk to us this morning, so thank you so much, and sleep well when you get home.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
You can text us if you have any comments. Maybe you've had experience with night nurses yourself. I've forgotten her phone number or text number now.
53102.
Yeah, so many text numbers. 53102, you can text us, or you can email Dermot and Dave at todayfm.com. Thanks, Hilary. It's Today FM.